Today's reading scripture is Colossians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the members of 10,000 burning churches around the world as well as in Korea, those in local sanctuaries, and those who are attending this service via the internet and GCN TV. This week has been Passion Week. And this day in particular was the day when Jesus suffered on the cross. I believe that you have imprinted deep in your heart the great love of the Lord who gave up everything for us, even His own life. God gave us a message entitled The Cross for tonight. I hope that through this message you will understand and establish the correct meaning of the cross. In addition, I hope that you can feel the heart of the Father contained in the cross. I pray in the name of the Lord that you may become God's true children who understand His will and live by it. Did you fast? Some did the one meal fasting, or two meals fasting, or one day fasting, or more than that. There are many people who fasted. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, first, the cross represents curse. Wow. When you look at the cross, I mean, when you carry cross, or when you have cross in your room, you may be surprised when I said the cross represents curse. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. This verse quotes a passage from Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. So our Lord was crucified. So that's why our Lord was buried. According to the law of the Old Testament, a man could be stoned to death after committing the sin worthy of death, and his corpse hung on the tree. However, the crucifixion, which was practiced in ancient times, was not to hang a dead body on a tree. A criminal was put to death by being nailed alive on a cross. In 73 BC, gladiators in Rome rose in revolt. A gladiator was a man who had to fight against another man or wild animals in the days of Roman Empire. So they fought against other men or wild animals to win the heart of people. The overlords of those days forced prisoners of the war, slaves, or convicts to fight as gladiators. These gladiators rose in revolt. The number of rebels reached about 100,000, and they fought against the Roman army for 2 years. And this rebellion was suppressed by the army of Crassus in 71 BC. Most of the gladiators were killed. About 6,000 were taken captive, and they were all crucified. They were hung on both sides of the most important road of Rome. About 6,000 crosses stood on both sides of a road for approximately 50 kilometers long. As you can see, crucifixion was a terrible punishment for a criminal who committed an unforgivable crime. And our Jesus was crucified on the cross like this. So only those in the criminal were crucified. Why was that? It was to receive the curse by standing in for sinners who were under the curse of the law. The curse of the law here means the curse of the spiritual law. That is, the wages of sin is death, as written in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Those who commit sin should receive retribution. And the wages of sin is death. So those who commit sin will see death. So even if you believe in the Lord, if you commit sin leading to death, then you will die. According to the spiritual law, a sinner is under a curse of the law, which is death. And all human beings are sinners, because as Adam's descendants, they are born with the original sin, and they themselves commit sin. If someone tries to free these sinner human beings from this curse of the law, he himself has to pay the price of the curse. For this, God the Father let Jesus hang on the wooden cross, which symbolizes the curse. Jews had only one death penalty, which is stoning. But to lift the curse of the law, Jesus had to hang on a tree. Thus, God caused the Roman governor to give Jesus the death sentence and let Jesus be put to death by the Roman death penalty. God the Father foreknew all of this, and he provided a foreshadowing symbol of it in the wilderness after the Exodus. At the end of the time of the life in the wilderness, when Israelites complained against God and Moses, fiery serpents appeared. Many were bitten by fiery serpents and they died. When Moses prayed, God told him to make a bronze serpent and set it on a standard. God said, everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. Regarding this, Jesus said in John 3, verses 14 and 15, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes will in him have eternal life. Sinless Jesus took all the sins of sinners and hung on a cross, just as a bronze serpent was set on a pole. By the way, why did God set a serpent on a pole? A serpent refers to the enemy, devil, and Satan. By taking the cross, Jesus defeated the authority of this enemy, devil, and Satan. Since the enemy, devil, and Satan killed sinless Jesus, they themselves violated the spiritual law, and thus Jesus resurrected from death. Therefore, looking up to Jesus on the cross is equivalent to looking by faith to see the death of the authority of the enemy, devil, and Satan. Eventually, by faith, people gain eternal life. Although Jesus hung on the cross, which was the symbol of the curse, when seen by faith, we can receive the gift of eternal life. To those of us who believe in the Lord, therefore, the cross is not the symbol of the curse any longer, but blessing. your brothers and sisters in Christ. Secondly, the cross carries the meaning of sacrifice. To redeem us from our sin, Jesus himself became the atoning sacrifice. Regarding this, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9, 12 says, "And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Without the letting of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. While standing in for us to redeem us from sin, Jesus bled." To free us, who used to be slaves of sin, and to make us God's true children, he paid the tremendous price of sacrifice. The amount that Jesus paid in sacrifice is too great for a mere human to even imagine. To help you understand the amount of his sacrifice even a little, let me explain about crucifixion in great detail, step by step. Our Lord was scourged, and crucifixion itself, how terrible it is, let me tell you. The whip which was used in the Roman Empire was made of several plated leather threads, metal balls, sharp bones, and steel fragments were entwined and stuck out from its surface. Soldiers took the clothes off the criminal, tied his both hands, and struck him on his shoulders, back, hips, legs, and hands. Soldiers took turns whipping him. They hit the criminal all over his body with the whip, with sharp bones and metal fragments affixed to it. It is painful to be beaten by a normal whip, and this whip used by these soldiers caused unimaginable pain. It didn't just leave black and blue bruises or welts on the body. Once bitten, along with severe bruises, the flesh was torn apart and even ripped off. Once the skeletal muscle is ripped off, the flesh dangles. Eusebius, a historian in 3 AD, wrote that innermost veins and arteries, the hidden inward parts of the body, both their balls and their members, were exposed to view. Because of excessive bleeding, the blood pressure drops down, and the criminal approached the state of hypovolemic shock. Since the body loses too much blood, it required liquid, and thus the criminal felt terrible thirst. Imagine yourself in this place. Put yourself into shoes of our Lord and think of being whipped. Listen to this message. In this state, the criminal went to the second stage of crucifixion. That is, he had to carry the wooden crossbeam to the execution place. A typical cross was 2 meters long, and it weighed 40 kilograms. It wasn't easy even for a normal man to carry. How heavy and difficult the cross felt for a man who was faint with his body torn apart after scourging. When Jesus carried his cross to Golgotha, he fell down 3 times. When you go to a pilgrimage, you can go to that place. You will come across those 3 points where Jesus fell down as you walk along Via Dolorosa. You will also find a spot where Roman soldiers found a Cyrene named Simon to carry the cross. That's the Via Dolorosa. You can find the touch of the Lord and the place our Lord fell down. As you can see, can you notice something? You know, that streets are so much crowded. However, when we were there, people were not there. Other people. When we visited that place, there were no people. Only our pilgrimage trip team was there. What an amazing thing it is. Usually it is crowded with people. But when we were there, there were no people. So we were able to see and take a closer look at the three spots in Via Dolorosa. How could it happen? Before we went on a pilgrimage, Father God already told me about it. When you go on a pilgrimage trip this time, the steps of the Lord and the place our Lord discussed and preached, you will be able to check those spots and pray on the spot and remind your followers. And I was wondering, there will be so much people and how Father God would make it possible. But then, Father God said so. And when we were there, the street was just empty. Almost all, virtually all the streets of Jerusalem were not crowded. You know, people used to stand in lines to walk the road, but we didn't need to. When Father God says something, it is fulfilled. So I was wondering how Father God would do. And then when we were there, there was an accident. And then it was an emergent state. So people didn't come to Israel because they were scared. And the soldiers were guarding every spots in those streets. Well, we were there. We went there and we were protected. And we had a good pilgrimage trip. Because soldiers were protecting us. There were no other pilgrimage trip teams. So only our team were able to, follow the steps of our Lord. Our Lord talked with His disciples, where our Lord was nailed, and the place where our Lord was buried. We could take a closer look at those places. And Father God surrounded those places with the lights, and Father God explained what, our Lord talked about, and those places were surrounded by the light. So those with spiritual eyes could see the light. So just as Father God said before we went abroad, nobody knew that kind of incident took place, but once when we arrived there, we knew that Israel was in that kind of emergency state. So there were no other pilgrimage trips, teams. So we were able to enjoy our trip. Just as Father said, we followed all the spots, where our Lord ate together with His disciples, broke bread, and Mary Magdalene, and all those spots. We were able to see them and receive the grace. So that's why there were not other people. You will come across those three points where Jesus fell down as you walk along the Via Dolorosa. You will also find a spot where Roman soldiers found a Cyrene named Simon to carry the cross of the Lord. As the criminal arrived at the execution place, the final step of crucifixion began. It was to nail him and hang him on the cross until he died. As the criminal hung on the cross until he died, he had to suffer from terrible pain for long hours. Since the pain was so very great, crucifixion was called the maximum penalty allowed by law. The criminal was attached to the cross by being nailed through his hands and feet. The nails were big. They were approximately 13 to 18 centimeters long, 7 to 9 inches long. If nailed on hands, it was possible that the hand could be torn apart and the criminal could fall from the cross due to his weight. Therefore, he was nailed not on his hands, but just above the wrist. This is the body part where central nerves can be found. If nailed on this spot, the nerves can be destroyed. Those of you who have received the nerve treatment must have felt the pain when an impact is made on the nerves. If the central nerves are destroyed without anesthesia, it would be unimaginably painful. Both feet overlapped each other, and they were nailed through the second and the third bones. The nerves were completely destroyed as well. Once the criminal was attached, the cross was set up upright. From this moment on, a completely different level of pain began. When hung on the cross with hands and feet nailed, the arms got stretched out and their bones became separated. Due to its body weight, you know, arms got stretched out and their bones became, you know, separated, right? Both shoulders got dislocated. Due to the body weight, both arms and shoulders were pulled down, and it became hard to breathe, which means there would not be enough oxygen. Then the blood became oversupplied with carbon dioxide, and the heart pounded irregularly. Modern research said the victims of crucifixion repeated passing out on the cross about 1,000 times. And then the criminal eventually died. Crucifixion was the punishment that provided the worst pain to the victim. After its cruelty became controversial, it was abolished by Constantine the Great of the Roman Empire. It was our Jesus that suffered from this very crucifixion. In the Roman Empire, because it was too cruel, it was abolished. And what about this country? In Joseon Dynasty, our Christians were crucified. They were so evil. We should engrave in our hearts how great His sacrifice was for us. Your brothers and sisters, our Lord redeemed us from our sin, and to save us, what a sacrifice He made. You have to put it and engrave it in your heart by faith. You have to put it in your heart deeply, not just hearing and put it as a knowledge. You have to feel the pain. What kind of sacrifice our Lord made. He is the Lord of lords. And He is the God, the Creator, His only begotten Son. And He had to take this pain. He forsook all the glory in heaven. But he came down to save sinners. And he took all this indescribable pain. Father God gave up his only son, and our Lord took this pain. If you truly believe in this, do you believe? If you believe, then you will never commit sin. You can never commit sin. Especially sin leading to death. You may come in sin and repent and turn back, and you will reach the state that you will never come in sin. But those sins leading to death, you learned what they are. Those sins leading to death, you should never come in sin. You can't. The Bible tells us, if you have truth in your heart, if the Word of God is in you, you can never come in sin. Says the Bible. Even if you have the word in your heart, you say, and you commit sin, then you don't believe. Since you don't believe, you commit sin. Since you don't believe, you commit sin. Look around. Those who don't give full, those who give full tithe receive an overflowing blessing, as written in the Bible. Since you don't believe, you don't give full tithe. Since it is the word of God, you have to obey. But you don't believe, you don't give. Even though Father God promised that He would give blessing, you don't believe it. Our members, most of you give full tithe and receive blessing, many, many blessings. However, there are people who don't believe, so they don't give full tithe. And they come across many, you know, accidents and disasters. Even though I taught you, you would not face disaster once you obey. So you heard it. But it has become just knowledge. You didn't believe with your heart. So, that kind of, you know, consequences follow. You have the knowledge, but you don't believe with your heart. That's why you commit sin. If you truly believed with your heart, as written in the Bible, you could never commit sin. You cannot commit sin. As you manage your Christian life in this church, where the power of God is manifested, then you still commit sin. Then, it is very serious. What kind of man you are, you have to give it a deep thought. Even though you heard many sermons, you read the Bible, and you saw signs and wonders that prove the word of God. Through the shepherd, you have witnessed the signs and wonders and power of God. But then you received grace back then, but as time goes by, you forsook the grace, you forsook your faith, and you commit sin again. If you truly believe, you can never commit sin. You have to truly believe because it is all true. What would you do if you didn't believe? It is all true. You gotta believe. I've told you that these are all true, and I proved them so far for 34 years. Father God governs history, weather, nature. Father God governs everything like this. He is Lord God. He can give us rain. He can stop the rain. When we have like an anniversary celebration, whenever we had celebration events, on my birthdays, it never rained. It has never rained. Like over like 70, more than 70 events. But it didn't, it had not, it hasn't rained. That's how Father God governs. Yesterday and today, He is the same. Father God works like this, and you have witnessed it. Last August, In summer retreat, you witnessed it. Every year you witnessed. Especially last year. Nobody can deny those of us who were there felt the heavenly wind. You witnessed it, then it should become faith. And you should fear God and love God and live by the word of God. Especially for 3 days, you know, we received the warning message from the government that the government warned us about the extreme heat when we had the summer retreat. And those for those 3 days, many animals died and even people died. It was extremely hot. But even on a map itself, weather forecast map, those white spots were the place where we had summer retreat. Only that place was free from extreme heat. Can you see the other places? Also, they're all hot. But the place where we had summer retreat was not, didn't have extreme heat. I mean, these are the scientific evidences. And Father God worked like this. But then, people committed sin again after that. They judged and condemned. They don't fear God. Even though they have witnessed. It's got to be faith. Those great works of Father God, many incurable diseases were healed. This year, what do you expect? This year, you will have greater expectation, right? Last year, it was so great. And this year, it will be even greater. And I'm curious too, how Father God would work even greater, even more greatly. The typhoon stopped. The rain stopped as I prayed. The weather was changed. Day and night, even in hot summer days, heavenly wind. Father God has worked with so many things like this. Now, in this year, 2016, what will Father God do? I'm very curious about it. So, Father God, tells me what He will do. Last year, Father God told me that He would work with wind. I told you about it, and you experienced it. Since it is the work of God, Father God, prophesied and you witnessed it, then it must become your faith. You should not sway back and forth. You should believe it 100%. So you should fear God. You should love God. You have to truly live in the Word of God. Sunday, last Sunday, I told you about the last days. When I have the power of recreation 100%, I'll give you detailed examination. This is almost very close to the end of the human cultivation. That's right. The end. In my calculation, we live in the final second of 24 hours. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, thirdly, the cross means love. For John chapter 4 verse 10 says, "In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us." Now, is there anyone who loved God first? No way. But that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He loved us and he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. He sent his only begotten son as the propitiation for our sins. And he let our Lord be crucified on the cross. So many people were born. Not single man can become a savior like our Lord is. Now, if anyone can become savior just because they are crucified, the man should have no sin, original sin or self-committed sin. But there is only one who has no such a sin, our Lord. That is, not in the days of the Old Testament, not in the days of the New Testament. Our Lord is the only one. And our Lord should be crucified to redeem us from our sins. Then, that's not it. He had to shed the blood. So, he bled all his blood through scourging, through nail, and through thorn crowns, and he was pierced on his side, and he shed all his blood, and that blood cleanses us from our sin and gives a way to eternal life. So not anyone can become the Savior, the one who is sinless. Only our Lord can redeem us from our sins. And he has to be hung on a wooden cross. That's why he was crucified on the cross, just as written in the Old Testament. So he was crucified on the cross. He loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation is a peace offering. Father God, between Father God and us, there is a wall of sin. And our Lord became the propitiation for our sins. So our Lord destroyed the wall between Father God and us by becoming the propitiation for our sins. God the Father already knew how terrible the pain Jesus was to suffer from would be. Father God surely knew. There was only one reason that he let Jesus hang on the cross. It's because he loves you and me. And this is the evidence of his love. Father God is love. What is the evidence? This is the evidence. Since he loves us so much like this, he let his only begotten son suffer on the cross and let him become the propitiation for our sins. If you truly believe this, then you will never commit sin. This week, a pastor wrote me a letter. In the letter, he said, "Senior pastor, I will truly get rid of adulterous mind and lust." He said he cannot even have a thought of adultery or lust. He even tried, but he couldn't. So he said, and then I thought, this is it. I will hug him when I see him. That's what I thought. Since, you know, he committed this kind of sin, having thought of lust and adulterous mind, I tried, but I couldn't love him. Now, he wrote me a letter, and it was the testimony of the one who truly got rid of that lust and adulterous mind. That's it. If once you got rid of it, then even if you try, you cannot have that kind of thought. You have lust when you see a woman? No. You know, because people have lust in their mind, you know, they talk about women. Those who enter the spirit, the whole spirit, deep level, since they don't have any adulterous mind or lust, they got no feelings about women. They don't have not a single feeling of, not a hint of lust. So the one who wrote me a letter is not a man of whole spirit. He just entered the spirit and he wrote me a letter. So, it is time to take care of the duty that Father God has given to him. That's what I thought. Those who entered the whole spirit, ask them. Lust? Adulterous mind? No way. They don't have it. Even if there are naked women in front of them, you know, they got no lust. They got not a single piece of lust in their mind. That's why even if they try, they cannot think of it. So our pastors, if you're a pastor, you gotta become like this. If you have lust when you see a woman, then you cannot receive even strength, not to mention power. You can't. If you are a pastor, you should be able to manifest strength and power of God. But, and then you have to, you know, even though I taught you how to receive strength and power, now, every pastor wants to manifest the strength and power of God. Then, they have to get rid of lust and adulterous mind. They have to fervently pray and withdraw the power and strength from Father God. But, unless you get rid of that kind of lust, then you cannot receive strength even though you pray. You know, even though you pray, you cannot receive answer as long as you have lust. The power comes from Father God. Only when you have a clean heart. But if you have lust and adulterous mind in your heart, then you cannot receive such a strength and power. So, those of you who judge and condemn the servant of God who has the power of God, it is so grave sin. They judge and condemn such pastors. You cannot do that. Father God says he is clean. I hope you can take it seriously and put it in your mind. And starting from today, make a decision to get rid of these things. You need it. If you want to do it, you made up your mind, you can do it. This is something that you got to get rid of. Then you can enter spirit and the whole spirit and go to New Jerusalem. And also you can receive strength and power. Our pastors, you visit members, right? And your hearts are burning, right? If I have strength or power, then I can heal them. I can solve their problems. Your hearts are burning like this, right? Those pastors who receive strength, you know, can heal them. But there are cases when you need the power of God, right? So your hearts are burning. Then you make up your mind, I wish I can receive power of God so that, you know, I can set them free from those, you know, diseases. It's because he loves you and me. It was the only way to save sinners. It was the way the enemy, devil, and Satan would never think of. With such sacrificial love that transcends justice, Jesus opened the way of salvation for human beings. Whenever we look at the cross, we should remember this love. We should remember the fact that God loves us to the point of giving of His only begotten Son, Jesus, to the cross. Those who feel and understand this love with their hearts will live their lives for a different reason. If you feel it, if you believe it with your heart, then you will have different reasons for your life. Apostle Paul confessed in Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Let me repeat. I've been crucified with Christ. Are you crucified with Christ? Your faith should be like this, even though you are not actually crucified. You have to believe that our Lord was crucified for us, both hands and feet nailed. You have to believe that you were also crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. That's right. As you can see, those who understood the love of the cross live their lives by faith following the will of the Lord. Our congregation, you know, on my way to church, many people suffered from diseases and received my prayer. And they don't live by the word of God. There is no reason for the one who lives by the word of God can get sick. Since you don't live by the word of God, you got sick. You got many diseases, several diseases. If you're a Manmin member, I got sick even though I didn't commit sin. You cannot say that, since you know the truth. I've been faithful. I did all things. You got sick because you are faithful? No way. You can't. You cannot say so. You judged and condemned others. You got jealous of others. You hated people. You murdered them because you hated them. And you say you were faithful and you got sick. And you say, even though I was faithful, I got sick. No way. Yesterday, on my way to church, you know, I prayed for those people. And I found some diseases, which is kind of curse. And I asked them, you didn't keep the Lord's Day holy. You didn't give full tithe. And they said no. I asked, even though, are you a Christian? You are not a Christian, but why do you come to receive my prayer? You have to receive prayer by faith. You are not a Christian. You got no faith, but why you are here to receive my prayer? You have to come and receive my prayer by faith. Then Father God's work will take place. You don't believe, and even if I pray 100 times or 1,000 times, it will not work. repenting and being forgiven and receive my prayer, then all diseases can be healed. AIDS, leper, nothing. It is nothing before me. Once I command, all those diseases will go away. It's not serious disease. The point is, you didn't destroy the wall of sin. You still commit sin before Father God. Since you didn't repent, there is no work. However, once I pray, you can be healed at once. Some people receive prayer twice or three times, which means you didn't have proper faith. Until you come to have proper faith, you may receive my prayer a couple of times. However, once you completely repent and came by faith, then the prayer once is enough. As you can see, those who understood the love of the cross lived their lives by faith, following the will of the Lord. Disciples of the Lord preached the gospel without being afraid of death after they understood His love. In the second part of this service, you will find it all in the scenes of the performance. I wish all of you, all the congregation may fill your hearts with the love of God the Father contained in the cross through this message and through the performance. I give thanks to the members of the Performing Arts Committee and the staff of the performance. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, tonight I explain the three meanings contained in the cross. First, the cross symbolized the curse, but it changed into blessing thanks to Jesus. Accursed are those who were hung on a tree, right? But that curse was changed into blessing thanks to Jesus. Second, the cross means sacrifice. And third, it means love. I hope you can understand these meanings of the cross well and engrave the great love of God the Father, who showed through the cross deep in your heart. May you love the Lord and be loved by the Lord all the more. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. I will pray for the sick. Father God, through this message, I explained how terrible pain it was on the cross. You loved us, and you sent your only Son, and let Him take the cross to redeem us from our sins. And those who believe in that, who receive salvation, you blessed us like this. We've heard this. However, we shouldn't just understand it. We have to believe it with our heart and put it into practice. Bless us to become like that. Father, we shouldn't just know it. We cannot become rich. We cannot become rich just because we know how to become rich. We have to practice those ways to become rich. Just like that, we have to cast off all sins, and you have to sanctify our heart by filling our hearts with truth. Then we can be called your true sons and daughters. Father, please let them be true children like this. Father, from this today on, from tonight on, word, let them become like this. They can do it. It's not difficult. We eventually have to go to heaven and go to New Jerusalem. Father, we can do it. We can do it. Father, please help us so that every one of us to practice it and accomplish. Father God, our Lord was crucified on the cross, and you gave up this Son. But those who believe in this are committing sin. But that's not what you want. Since those who believe it should get rid of every form of evil to become true children of God. Not the chaff, but good grains. That's what you want. You want every one of us to become light, not the darkness. Let us become children that you cannot but love. Father God, thank you. Please bless Sebastian Impetopengo from Congo. Take care of the heart of the President of Congo so that Sebastian Impetopengo can receive could become the minister. Father, please govern the heart of the president so that this governor could become the instrument of the gospel of holiness. May the light come. Bless Pastor Dominguez Jacobi of Belgium to be healed of kidney stone. May the light come. Be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. Kidney stone, go away. Be cleansed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Bless Bing Sang Chi to be healed of heart diseases. Bless Ri Su Ching to be healed of brain bleeding and diabetes. Bless Bing Chen Guang to be healed of high blood pressure and paralysis on his hands and feet. Bless Pan Jinghua to be healed of kidney diseases and cataract. May the light come. Bless Zheng Wenzheng to find the good spot for the business in the market area. Father God, thank you. Bless our members from head to toe in every intestines and organs and nerve system. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit and cleanse them. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and may the light come. All the diseases and germs and viruses go away from head to toe and go away. Go away from their intestines and organs and nerve system. All the nerve organs, kidney, heart, may the light come. All nerve system, all skins, bless them, Father. All diseases go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. All the last stage of cancer, transferred cancer, go away. All kinds of lung diseases go away. Be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and may the light come. Father God, AIDS and other diseases, burn them by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Pneumonia, go away. May the light come. Please give them health, both in spirit and body. Let their infirmities go away. Father God, thank you. Be glorified alone. Be with us tonight. Let them see well. Let them hear well. All the internal organs become healthy. Let their skin become healthy. Give answers to their prayers and desires of their hearts. May the light come. All darkness go away. Father God, please work for them. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.